Well, good afternoon, brethren. And for those who are at home watching, well, welcome them as well. Well, I've been going on the last couple of weeks. If you've been watching the news, there's very interesting debates that are taking place in our political world that we live in. That was a subject today is very close to my heart. I was thinking earlier as I saw Mr. and Mrs. Dick out there that a memory came back to me that his father, Ray Dick, we had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with them back in England in the early days of the church. And one of the things, when they came over for dinner, my wife made a pepper jelly for meat. And I tell you what, after a while, we just served him the jelly and forget the meat because he really loved it. But I remember that just sitting there thinking about that. It goes back quite a few years. Have you ever felt like you were surrounded by an insurmountable wall of problems and difficulties that you were never going to get on top of? Or felt you could even solve? You ever felt that way? Have you ever had that difficulty? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't had experience of that nature, but I have personally. Have you prayed to God for answers, solutions, and you wondered if He was even hearing your prayers? Were they even getting through the ceiling? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt these problems that kind of engulf you sometimes, particularly in the world that we live in? Maybe you've not had that situation. Maybe you've not dealt with those issues. And I really appreciate the sermonette because it really fits into my sermon very well. It was very well done. You know, sometimes we seem that God is not listening or helping us. And He's allowing me to go through these difficulties, trials, and experiences. And you wonder why. I'm trying to do everything I possibly can. I'm trying to obey His laws and commandments. I'm trying to be as good a Christian and a human being as I possibly can. And yet it seems at times that you're still engulfed in these problems, these difficulties. And you ask God, you know, why? Is He going to lift eventually? Am I going to be coming out of these problems? And I look around this congregation, I know that many in here have had difficulties and problems and had to overcome and address these issues. So when you start to feeling this way, that you're kind of all alone and maybe God's forgotten you, maybe He's not hearing your prayers, then you kind of realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm not alone. There's other men and women of the Bible that is written for our instruction and encouragement that have gone through similar problems that we're going through. Many of them far greater, as we heard in the sermonette, than what we may be going through personally, even though it seems to be a very difficult trial that we're going through. And believe me, every individual trial that you have may be very specific to you, may not be a trial to me, but it is to you, it is to me, whatever that case may be. And I picked David as a good example here, but you could pick Paul that was mentioned. I was thinking, just Paul, as he's out preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he walks into a city and he's greeted with rocks and stones. He's beaten up, he's trashed, he's thrown on a rock pile and left for dead. Been very easy for Paul to get discouraged and think God's forgotten him. He's not with him any longer. He's not even helping him. Why would you throw me on a rock pile? I'm just trying to preach the gospel. I'm trying to get the word of Jesus Christ out to the world. Well, he didn't get discouraged. He picked himself up and then dragged himself back into the same city where he had just been beaten up and dragged out of the city and told never to come back. We saw the example of Jesus Christ there that he read and what he went through. We could pick a number and we could talk about Jeremiah. He wrote the whole book of Lamentations and what he went through. Very discouraging. I mean, he went through a lot in preaching and standing up for God's way of life. And believe me, there was times when he was very discouraged and he wrote deeply about moaning about what God had let him go through. And then he realized there was hope in everything he had done. So let's turn to Psalms and let's pick David and just walk through some of the things that David experienced and how he addressed these issues that apply to each and every one of us today. And hopefully when we walk out of here today, we'll have a little bit of encouragement of keeping that vision, keeping things alive because there's hope in God He's called us out of this world and given us one of the most precious gifts that any human being could ever have, and that's the understanding and knowledge of His Word. And He's imparted His Holy Spirit to those who have been baptized, overcome, repented, and now have an understanding that they had no knowledge of previously. Let's go to Psalm 31 and begin there in verse 1. He says, "In you, already acknowledging where the strength comes from, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me quickly. Be my strong rock, a fortress of defense to save me." I got to tell you, I've been there before. I needed God to be my rock. I needed Him to be my fortress. I needed to be surrounded by His grace and knowledge and understanding that I might be able to survive the next thing that was coming. You can never let yourself get to the point that you give up on God, and some have. You know, we live in a society today where there's a lot of young people, and getting younger every day, that are just giving up on life altogether. It's so hopeless to them, without God, without the knowledge of God, that they end it. They commit suicide. And that age is getting younger and younger all the time, where there's just an absolute total depression in our society of people that have no vision, no hope of the future. To them, what's the purpose of living? Now, those of us in here have a purpose. We have been revealed what God's plan is for all mankind, and particularly for us that have been chosen to be part of the first fruits of God. And David's talking here. That's why God inspired these words. That's why it's so important for us to be studying and recording in the Bible, that we can have hope and be encouraged by God's words, so that when we go through these trials and tribulations and difficulties, and they will come and they will continue to come, but God's given us a tool to be able to handle them. And unfortunately, if you lose that focus on the hope of God and what He's called us all to do, then you can give up. It's very easy. I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. I didn't ask to do this to start with. And yet God called us and He gave us a purpose. So go to verse 3. He says, "For you..." You know, here David was not relying on himself, which is the general tendency of most people, is that they want to solve the problem themselves. And every time I've tried that, believe me, it's gotten worse. You have to rely on God, and David did. He relied on God. He didn't rely on his own abilities and whatever. He turned it over to God, and he said, "You are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me up out of the net that they have hidden for me. You are my strength." And that's something we can take home. God is our strength. Whenever we feel weak, we feel like we can't cope anymore, that it's just too much. Maybe it's an illness that you're overcoming. Maybe it's financial problems. Maybe it's marital problems. Whatever it might be. Health issues. Maybe it's your child that's struggling through. Just thinking of a couple that was in our congregation for a period of time, Gloria and Benzie Lorenzo, who are now serving God's people in the Philippines. And Mrs. Lorenzo has been very ill for a period of time. Been a real trial on them as a couple. Great people. And yet they've had their trials. They've gone back to serve God's people in the Philippines. That's where we come in. We can be praying for them and asking for healing for her and strength for Benny and the duties he has in serving God's people. He goes on and says, "Pull me up out of the net that they have hidden from me, for you are my strength." You can have strength in God. Verse 5, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." You know, I give it over to you, God, because I can't handle this on my own. I need you involved in my life. And believe me, every day when we pray, we ought to invite God into our lives to take an active part in everything we do. whether it's play, whether it's entertainment, whether it's your business and your family life, raising your children, your relationship with your wife. You invite God in. You ask Him to help you, give you wisdom and understanding, to pull back the scriptures you need, the understanding of God's Word that will allow you to address these issues when they come, and they will come. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O God, of truth. I have hated those who take heed by lying vanities, but I trust in you. I will be glad and rejoice in your loving kindness, for you have looked upon my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul and have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. You know, God's involved in our lives. He understands what we're going through. He hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't left us alone. He's there for us 24/7. And He's aware of the troubles you're going through. All we have to do is communicate with Him. We have to invite Him into our lives where we know that God knows what we're going through. He hasn't forgotten us, even though sometimes we may feel that way. You know, we need to praise God for a number of things. You know, just the fact that He loves us. Over and over again in His Word, He talks about His loving us, His strength that He gives us, His graciousness, His goodness, His kindness, and His mercy that He's extended to everyone, because we're all sinners. Every one of us sin every day. And through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and our repentance, we've been able to go to God each and every day of our lives and actually ask God, please, God, forgive me for my weakness, for my sins. Every day we have that ability that God's given. Now He expects us to eventually get to the point where we have fewer and fewer of these conditions. But believe me, in the world we live in, that's a full-time job, isn't it? I could spend all day, every day on my knees, never get up. It's a struggle. It's a battle. Let's go to verse 9. You know, it's His strength and His love that we were able to draw upon. In verse 9 of Psalm 31, He said, "Be gracious unto me, O God, for I am distressed. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, even my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing." Now this is David talking. He said, "My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones have wasted away because of all my adversaries. I have become a reproach, but especially among my neighbors, and a dread to my friends. Those from outside who saw me fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man." How low can you get when you feel that you are so alone? And David says, "I am forgotten as a dead man. It's like I never existed. Out of mind. No one cares anymore. Nobody's thinking about me." He said, "I am a broken vessel. I am a broken vessel. For I have heard the whispering slander of many. Terror is on every side. They plotted together against me. They planned to take away my life." And that could have many different connotations to it. It doesn't have to be your physical life. It can be a lot of other things that can be just as serious. "But I trusted you, O God. I said, in spite of all these things," all these feelings that David had, all the emotions that are being poured out here, feeling all alone, feel like a dead man, feel like he's a broken vessel. He didn't give up hope, did he? Let's go on what he says. He said, "I said, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. make your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. You ever been there? I have. I've been there. I've felt like this before. David felt like that before. But his solution was not to give up. His solution was to go and say, "You are my God." And he knew that God was the answer. His hope was in God and what God's promises were for David if he overcame and changed and continued on in that path. Let's drop down to verse 23. He said, "Oh, love the Lord, all of his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the eternal God." You know, David, in spite of all the things he was going through, he was encouraging in the sense that he was a sinner, no question about it. But his examples that he set, in the sense that God allowed him to go through these troubles and difficulties, are great lessons for us to be able to look and read in what David. And when you read the Psalms and the Proverbs, you're just amazed. I read the Psalms and I'm just constantly wondering how in the world God inspired this man to write such beautiful words and be able to express himself the way he did in his emotions, to pour out the feelings he had for God. I'm still working on that. I haven't got there yet. But God gave David a tremendous amount of wisdom through the things he suffered. And there's a great deal to be said about the relationships he created with God and the personalization that he had with him. That's a good example to each and every one of us. When we go through the trials and tribulations that we either are going to have or have had or are still enduring. Go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, and beginning in verse 1. Again, he said, "Oh, praise the Eternal, praise the Eternal, oh my soul." He says that over and over again in several other Psalms. He said, "Praise the Lord, oh my soul. While I live, I will praise the Eternal. While I still have breath, I'm going to praise my God, my Creator." You know, when we think on these things, it changes our thought process and it changes our attitude. And it brings us closer to God when we think on God in His way and what He's all about and what He's doing through us. And you think on the creation and how beautiful it was and how He made these things. He goes on and says, "I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being." While I'm still alive and I have breath to breathe. Kind of reminds me of the example of Paul and those that were thrown in the stocks and in jail. And it's about midnight, and they start singing psalms. They start singing. They start singing hymns. There's a giant earthquake. Shatters the whole jail. The stocks fall off and everything else. The jailer is terrified. He's thinking, what's going on here? The prisoners are escaping. If that happens, he's going to be beheaded or killed or whatever. And Paul yells out, "Don't worry, we're still here. We haven't run away." And a man says, he asked for Paul for salvation. You know, it shook him up so much that he said, "What do I have to do to be saved?" You know, God does intervene in our lives if we seek Him. If we do what David did and what others like Paul did, they put their trust in God and they realized that the only help that they had in the world that they lived in was in God. And believe me, we live in a world that's becoming more depraved every day that we live. You can't help but look at what's going on in our society, in our political world, and the government, people in government are promoted up. I could go on and talk about some of those individuals. I'm not. You can read it. You've been reading it. You can see it in the news. It's pretty amazing the condition our country has gone to and come to when you look at the various individuals that are in government And you think, wow, how far have we gone? Is it no wonder that God's going to bring an end to all this eventually? Very powerfully, very strongly, to bring people to a point of repentance. Isn't it a shame we have to get to that point that we virtually have to be down on the floor, totally wiped out before we'll even seek God? Psalm 146, let's go to verse 3. And this is very true in our society today. He said, do not put your trust in princes, in leaders, nor in the son of man, being a physical man, in whom there is no salvation. He's speaking of physical man. You can't get salvation going through our government, whatever. His breath goes forth. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, that's where our hope is, brethren. It's in God. Can't be in our government. Can't be in our Social Security. It can't be in our retirement funds. I mean, a lot of those won't be here, maybe eventually. Hopefully they'll be here for a little while longer. But the only real hope, protection, and safety we have on the face of this earth is God himself. We talked about that before. Our place of safety, if you would have it, is God. It's the only place you can be safe is with God, in your relationship with him. To continually strengthen that relationship at all times. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Count on that. Boy, that could carry you through many problems you have. It has me, I can tell you that for sure. Yeah, I've seen people who have given totally up on life completely. And they got in such a great despair that they didn't think they'd ever come out of it. But we need to trust in God regardless of what happens or what circumstances we find ourselves in, because that is the final solution. Let's go to verse 6. God made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in it. You can reflect on these things. It's amazing when you think about the creation itself and realize there was a creator God that made all these things, who keeps truth forever. Goes on in verse 7, who carries out justice for the oppressed. You know, God will deliver on his promises. He does not lie. And what's the greatest injustice of all? This world is so confused, they think that if you don't live this perfect life, you're going to end up in this very hot place called hell. And yet we know God has a plan of salvation that goes beyond that. That all human beings that ever lived on the face of the earth, that never knew the truth, never had exposure to the truth, will have a second opportunity. They will have their first opportunity in the second resurrection. Now, is God merciful? Is he an all-loving God who wants to do the right thing for everyone, give everybody an opportunity? And yet we live in a world that's so full of false teachings, misleading people all the time. There is the plan of the second resurrection, God's incredible plan of salvation for all those who are not a call to this age will have their opportunity. But for us, you know, we have the promise of the first resurrection, to be part of the first fruits, to be part of the very family of God in a very personal relationship with him, a unique calling for a unique period of time. I hope we never forget that. Just let that sink in. If you really internalize that, you really believe that, how could you possibly walk away from that knowledge? But you can get to a point where you can walk away from it if you get discouraged or you get surrounded by the problems that encompass us many times and the betrayals that can come from people that you trust. Can't ever rely on human beings. I mean, we all have our failings. We're human. We're not gods yet. But God will never let you down. He is truthful. He never changes. His plan is there today, tomorrow, forever. He had a plan in the beginning. He formed us with his own hands in that, and he gave us an opportunity to be part of his family. He wants us to be part of his family. He desires that. Sometimes we just have to call out, God, help me. Here I am. What do I do? And think and believe that God will help us if we call out to him. Verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. God does the calling. I was blind to the truth. We all were. And best be known to him, I have no idea in the world why he called me as opposed to somebody else, but he did, and he opened up my mind to give me the vision to be able to see and understanding of his word, and we started that process like many of you in here. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers. He sustains the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Let's go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, who hope in his steadfast love. Glorify the eternal. O Jerusalem, praise your God. O Zion, this is how we need to approach God in each problem we face. No, Jesus didn't say we were going to have a picnic. You know, he says, you're all going to suffer persecution. He said, if I did, you will. As one of my followers, you're going to suffer. But he also said, don't fear him who can kill your body, your physical body. They can't take away your spiritual life. So no matter what we face in this world around us, we're close to God. We keep that in mind. They cannot kill you spiritually of your belief and your unless you allow them. You can give it up. You can quit. I've had enough and walk away. But that's your choice. And we're responsible for that choice. But the strength we have to stay the course is keeping close to God, having hope in God, and remembering the promises of God of the resurrection. Be part of the first fruits. Never lose the vision. What's God say? You know, they perish because they lost the vision. They have no vision. And we live in a society today that have no vision. It's running around circles. They repeat the same problems over and over again, except they embellish them and get worse and worse as time goes on. Let's go to Psalm 119. Back a few pages. Psalm 119. In verse 41. So let your mercies come unto me, O Lord, even according to your salvation, according to your word. Now, God, you have promised, and you cannot lie. And we can claim these promises. We can claim the promises of God. And you need to do that, brethren, to be able to survive in this world we live in and maintain this relationship that is so precious to us, and endure to the end. Verse 42, that I may have an answer for the one who reproaches me, for I trust in your word, and take not the word of the truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. It all circles around this hope. So I can keep your law continuously, forever and ever, enduring to the end. And the way we endure to the end is say, toast to God, understand his word, read his word, study his word, embellish his word, internalize his word, and know it. So that no matter what happens, what challenges you come, you have a word and you know in your heart, in your mind, this is what God says. Walk in that way, not another way. Not to be tempted by the challenges of this world that we have. In verse 49, he says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my situation or affliction, that your word has given me life. Your word has given me life. And God's encouragement. You drop down to verse 73, 119, Psalm 119. Your hands have made me and formed me. Well, that alone ought to be very encouraging. The realization that God says here through David, your hands have made me and formed me for a purpose, to be part of your family, to be part of the kingdom of God. You know, we come in all sizes and shapes, but to God we're all beautiful. Because, see, we're His children. He formed and made us for a purpose. It's an almighty purpose. We can just envision that and keep that always in our mind no matter what we face. He goes on and says, give me understanding so that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. And God has promised. You know, we can say, you know, God, you promised, Lord, I am in your hands. It's a good place to be, isn't it? In God's hands. Verse 81, Psalm 119. My soul faints for your salvation. I hope in your word. The promises of God are in his word. And they're all for us who have understanding. I mean, it says that in 1 Corinthians 2, when he says, without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the things of God. But when you have the Spirit of God, what happens? You can understand what God is trying to teach us here. And if we don't study his word, and we don't internalize that word, then we won't have understanding. But he's given us that gift, and therefore we need to take advantage of it. We need to know the Word of God like never before, because the challenges are going to get worse, they're going to get heavier, more demanding, and it's going to be more and more difficult for us to stay the course as time goes on. Let's drop down to verse 82. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? You know, he was in difficulties. He was wondering, when, God, are you going to give me some relief? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, men who do not act according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. In every circumstances, we need to think back on God. We think back on the commandments of God. And just like the Sabbath day, when we are able to come here, it should be a great day for us. It's a struggle sometimes for many of us to go Sabbath to Sabbath with what we experience during the week. But we come to be instructed in the Word of God. We need to be encouraged by the Word of God. We need to be lifted up by the Word of God. Lifted up by the Spirit of God, and at Sabbath services, we should be lifted up and encouraged with one another when we all come together. And if that doesn't happen, when we come here, shame on us. Shame on us. Because that's a responsibility each and every one of us in here has, to lift each other up, to be there from one another. We are brothers and sisters, regardless of our failings and our faults. And we all have them. We all have them. But there's no excuse. We all need to love one another. That's what God said, didn't he? He died for us when we were yet sinners. He didn't think about it. God the Father, Jesus Christ, made that decision while we were still sinners. And he died for us because he loved us. Now, if he can do that, what about us? You mean we can't love one another? Yeah, we can. And we need to. And we need to be about that. Because that's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to be about. Verse 89. Forever, O eternal, your word is settled in the heavens. No one is going to argue with against God. You know what I mean? They're not going to win that argument. Your faithfulness is to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands. They continue to this day according to your ordinances. For all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, then I should have perished in my afflictions. You know, listen to David. I mean, David is pouring out his heart to God here, and it's great instructions to us. Yeah, we can be so consumed with the things that are going on around us and bogged down by our problems, we lose the sight of these things. And that's why God gives them to us, and he's opened our mind to understand. In verse 114 of Psalm 119, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And boy, I tell you what, this has been a great scripture for me, because there's many times in my life that God was my hiding place and God was my shield. When I didn't think there was anything else, I've had to rely on God being my hiding place and to cover me with his, as it says, like a mother hen, her chicks, with his wings around me, to pull me in. And believe me, he'll do that for each and every one of us. Because, see, God loves us. He wants the best for us. That's why we need God's laws and commandments written in our hearts and in our minds. We have internalized these. What's God said? That's his instructions. He says, hang them on your forehead. So that the reminders to teach your children to live that way of life, to be example to your children and the people around you, the society we live in, the person you work with, the person you greet in the grocery store, wherever you go, you're supposed to be a light to the world. And you do that by the example you set, the way you live your life, the way you conduct your life, not just in church, but when you're out there in the world. When Paul says, you know, hey, how you looking out there when you're not being judged in here? It's easy to judge one another in here, but what happens when you walk out this door and drive down the highway? Makes a difference. When we are in trouble, we can call on God and we rely on his promises, and God is there for us, never to leave us or forsake us. It's a beautiful thing to think about. You know, we read these Psalms and they're just over and over again. Let's go to Psalm 77. Go back a little bit more here to Psalm 77. In verse 1. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried to God with my voice. You know, that's where we can lift up our voice in prayer. We can lift it up in singing. Whatever works for you, whatever works for me. To God with my voice, and he gave me ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Eternal. My hand was lifted up, and my tears ceased not in the night. David, in other scriptures, says, you know, I cried. My pillow was wet with my tears. My pillow was wet with my tears. David got to that point where he cried himself. He said, my tears ceased not in the night. My soul refused to be comforted. How many times have we woken up at night with thoughts and problems that you're trying to overcome? And yet David kept coming back to God's word, God's way of life, and God himself and his relationship with God as encouragement not to get off track. And yet we know David got off track over and over again. It's recorded for everybody to see how many sins he had. But what did he do? He never lost the vision or understanding of God being there for him. He repented. He goes on in verse 3 and he said, I remember God and was troubled. I moaned and my spirit fainted. God, why is this happening to me? Verse 4. You keep my eyes awake. I am too troubled. I cannot speak. I am pondered. I have pondered the days of old. The years of ages past. I remember my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. And my spirit made diligent search. And maybe when you get a little bit older, a little grayer, and have had a lot of experience like some of us have, been in the church for a lot of years, you reflect on many individuals that you've had personal relationships with, loved, did a lot of things with, worked with, side by side, that are no longer with us. And I can identify with what David's talking about here. He's like, I have pondered the days of old. Now we live in a new age. And it's a troubling age. Because we see a rise just in our own political world of this whole new generation coming up who has very dramatic tendencies towards a way of life very contrary to God's way of life. And that ideology permeates the church of God if we're not careful. We're moving into a different generation of teaching and thinking. And we have to be careful that we don't modify God's teachings by the way of our modern society and the way they are leaning towards things and thinking, oh, well, that's okay. Look at everybody around us. They're doing it. It must be all right. Now, God's got very specific ways of teaching how we ought to live our lives. And we can't ever depart from that and realize that we are living in a changing society that will have an impact on God's church as time goes on if we're not careful. I can guarantee you that the ages, and I know Mr. and Mrs. Dick can probably echo this along, they've been around a lot longer in the church than I have, but I've been around a long time. We've seen many churches, changes in the church of God over the years. Now, the solid foundation of God's teaching never changes. And you have to be rooted in that. Because you're going to be surrounded by changes in this world that can get you off track very carefully. And we need to rely on God each and every time. Realization, they don't know the true God. They don't have the Word of God. And they don't understand the promises of God. And that's a society we live in. But we don't have any excuse. See, we understand, we know, we've given God's Holy Spirit, we know better. And He's going to hold us accountable to that. Without the understanding of God, the problems become overwhelming and too hard to handle. That's why we need God and need to stay close to Him. Verse 7 of Psalm 77. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favored no more? Is His mercy gone forever? Has His promise failed for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And it says Salak. It means stop and think about what's being said here. More and more people are beginning to think that this is the end time and close to the return of Jesus Christ, and these are people on the outside, not just in the church of God. Verse 10, and I said, this is my grief, that the right hand of the Most High could change. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your doings. What's the lesson of thought here? To get your mind off yourself. Can you without God save yourself? No. Can't save ourselves. No. We need to think of God being involved in our life all the time. Let's go to Psalm 37 and verse 1. Psalm 37 verse 1. He says here, do not fret yourself. Don't get frustrated. You probably will, but don't get over it. It's not going to do you any good to get fretting and get all worked up. Because of evildoers, and do not be envious against the workers of iniquity, they shall soon be cut down like the grass. and wither as the green herb. God will take care of it in His time when He's ready. Trust in the Eternal and do good. Whatever He says, do it. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Eternal, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't that sound like Matthew 6? He said, you put God first in your life and all these things will be added to you. Yeah, we need to think more about what God is going to give us and the greatness of the first resurrection. There never will be a repeat of that special event. You know, our calling is so unique and so incredible, it's hard to even conceive what God has planned for us to be part of the first roots. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. Pick up here, Paul is saying in verse 4 of chapter 5, he said, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. You know, we're not in darkness anymore. The blinders have been lifted off of our eyes. That the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief, for you are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. So then we should not sleep as others do, get cut off in the difficulties and consumed by them. And he goes on in verse 6, but we should watch and we should be sober, for those who are sleeping sleep in the night, and those who are drunken get drunk in the night. But we who are of the day should be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Because God has not appointed us to be to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise from God that we need to remember and never forget and understand. It's so important to keep encouraged during this period of time. Verse 10, Jesus Christ who died for us, so that whether we remain alive until He comes or we fall asleep before that day, together we may live forever with Him. These are the promises that we keep in front of us at all times to keep us from being discouraged or lose our way. Therefore, encourage one another and edify one another, even as you are already doing. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. These are powerful words, brethren. Verse 3, and not only this, but we also boast in tribulations, realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance, and endurance brings forth character. And what's God building in each and every one of us? He's building character. He wants to know what we're made of. Are we going to qualify to be part of the first fruits? We need to be part of the character of God. And he goes on and says, and character brings forth hope. That's why, in spite of all the troubles, all the difficulties, and everything that are in the world, that have been in the church, have been in our lives personally, we can overcome every bit of it with God's love and help and the vision he's given us of the resurrection. Verse 5, and the hope of God makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Go over to Romans 8 and verse 9. Excuse me. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling in you, and it should be, each and every one of us has been baptized with God's Holy Spirit. You know, God evaluates us and looks at us as not we are now, but what we will become. We look at ourselves for what we see now, so that we can change, repent, and grow. But God is looking at us for what we will become. And this is how we can keep our minds and our emotions and our perspective under control, by understanding how God looks at us. That God has this all-enduring love for us, never gives up on us. He goes on and says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. Therefore, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Drop down to verse 11. Now, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwells within you. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. The things of the flesh are only so we can continue to live as long as God wants us to live, and so that we can grow and develop in the character and the love of God, and that's what it's all about. It's where we need to keep our vision. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our own spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Now, if we are children of God, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer together with him, and there's times when we will suffer, so that we may also be glorified together with him. Promises of the future. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world and time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now this is inspired from Paul, who went through, as we heard in the sermonette, and we can read over and over again what Paul went through. And he himself admitted, look, there's times when I do things that I know I shouldn't be doing, and I fight against that all the time. And yet, who has captured more of God's understanding and his scriptures and his writings than just about anybody? And he goes on and says here, suffering of the present time are not worthy. When we go through what we go through every day of our lives, he says, not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's a vision we need to maintain at all times. We've got to look to the future, not to now. 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For this very reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Think on that, brethren. That will help us more than anything if we have that vision when we're going through these troubles, to have the hope in God that we are the children of God, that we have the promises of the kingdom of God, the first fruits, and the resurrection. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him, because we shall see him exactly as he is. And finally, in verse 3, he says, and everyone who has this hope, everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. These are powerful words of encouragement that we see from Paul, who suffered a lot, David, who suffered a lot, and we could go through other servants of God who made it into the kingdom of God, who are listed as one of those that will be part of the first fruits. And our names could be there too, because he's given us that same calling, that same understanding, the same promises that he gave these individuals. And David ended up being a man after God's own heart, did he not? With all his failings, with all his troubles, with all the things he did. But when you read the words of David and what he did, that cried out to God over and over again, and Paul cried out to God many times himself. What did Jesus Christ say in the garden at that time? He said, "Oh God, please, if it can be removed from me, do so. But not my will, but your will be done." And he said, "Please return me to my former glory." And he knew what he was going to have to go through. And he did it, not for himself. He did it for you and me. Those are the things we need to think on when we get into the trouble, when we are surrounded, when we don't think there's any way out. And why bother? No, there's something to be bothered about. We need to stay faithful, true to God's way, true to God's word, never give up, endure to the end, brethren. And the promises of God and the hope of God is unbelievable.